Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're jumping back into the RAFT to Freedom program, and today we're looking at Chapter 24. This one is about the last of the four creative powers, and, well, it might be the most powerful one.
It really might be. We're talking about fearless investigation.
Yeah.
And just as a quick reminder for everyone, RAFT stands for Recognize, Abandon, Freedom, and Train.
Right. So we're still in that first stage, Recognize, and this is the skill that sort of pulls it all together.
It is. It's the final piece, if you think about what we've covered.
We have noble desire, which is our North Star, our direction.
And then courageous energy, which is the engine, the power to move.
And the heart's compass, which gives us that stability, that focus when things get rough.
Exactly. And fearless investigation, or what the RAFT program calls wise inquiry. That's the wisdom. It's the intelligence guiding the whole operation. It's what looks at everything else and asks, okay, is this actually working?
So it's the navigation system. It's the brains of the whole raft. What does that actually look like? How do we, do that?
Well, at its core, it's the part of you that asks two fundamental questions: why and how.
Simple questions.
Simple, but so powerful. It's about moving beyond just reacting on autopilot, beyond our old assumptions. It's a commitment to understanding, through your own direct experience, how things really are for you.
Not how you think they should be, or how someone told you they are.
Precisely. It's your personal map of cause and effect. It's what helps you discern, really discern, what's skillful, what actually leads to happiness and well-being.
And what's unskillful, the things that keep you stuck in those same old patterns of suffering.
Exactly that.
Okay, I want to dig into the name itself. Fearless investigation. Inquiry, you know, that sounds calm, maybe a bit academic, but the program puts fearless right at the front. What's the fear we're supposed to be overcoming here?
That's such a great question, because it gets right to the heart of why this is so difficult and so important. It's called fearless because to do this properly, you have to look at reality honestly. And, well, reality can be pretty uncomfortable sometimes.
Right. You might have to face truths about your own patterns or things you've relied on for years that just aren't working.
Yes. Or maybe seeing the real consequences of a behavior, not the fantasy you've built around it. And our first instinct when we see something uncomfortable like that is usually to look away.
Well, to judge ourselves. I mean, if I'm investigating why I had a slip-up, my immediate thought is often, I'm a failure, I messed up again. That feels like shame, not investigation.
That's it. That is the fear. The shame, the self-judgment that kills the investigation before it can even start. So the courage here isn't about being aggressive. It's about the willingness to just look.
Yeah.
To look without flinching, without falling into that pit of denial or self-blame. You just have to suspend the judgment long enough to see what's there.
So that courage, just the willingness to see clearly, that's what powers the whole thing. It's the engine of insight.
It is. It allows you to deeply recognize the specific machinery of your own mind. The triggers, the chain of events, the patterns of your pain. You can't abandon a pattern you don't fully understand.
And this all comes back to personal verification, doesn't it? We're not meant to just take this on faith.
Not at all. And this connects to some really deep philosophical roots. The RAFT program brings up a quote from Gautama, the Buddha, from centuries ago.
What did he say?
He basically said, "Do not go by reports, by legends, by traditions, by scripture." He lists all these external authorities. He says, but when you know for yourselves that these things are skillful, these things, when undertaken and observed, lead to welfare and happiness, then you should enter and remain in them.
Wow. That's putting the power right back in your hands. The ultimate authority is your own investigation.
It's the most powerful DIY approach there is. It means the wisdom you gain is real. It's earned. Now, let's take that idea back to our raft metaphor. How does this power actually function out on the water?
Okay, so if we're on the raft, heading for that shore of freedom, fearless investigation has to be our onboard computer, our diagnostic system.
Exactly, the adaptive navigational computer. When you're paddling hard with courageous energy, this system is watching. Is that the most effective stroke? Are you wasting power?
And it's checking the heart's compass. Is our heading still accurate? Or have the current shifted? It's looking for leaks in the raft.
All of it. All the time. So if a big wave of craving hits the raft, the system doesn't just panic. It gathers data. It logs the time, the weather conditions, the intensity, what happened right before.
It learns from every single encounter, whether it's a hazard or, you know, a helpful current that gives you a boost.
Yes, and that ability to learn and adapt in real time is everything. Without it, you're just following a set of rigid rules that might not apply to your unique situation.
It's about constantly updating the map as you go, not just sticking to the original plan no matter what.
The RAFT program really emphasizes this. Every challenge contains the lesson you need. There's that great line from Pema Chodron, nothing ever goes away until it has taught us what we need to know.
Yeah.
Fearless investigation is how you extract that lesson.
That's a huge shift in perspective. A problem isn't a failure, it's a teacher. Okay, so if this is a skill we can build, how do we actually do it? How do we cultivate this investigative muscle?
It's absolutely a trainable capacity. It comes down to nurturing two main things. Genuine curiosity, and the ability to reflect. The program lays out six specific ways to practice this.
Let's walk through those. This is where it gets really practical. The first one is cultivating genuine curiosity.
Right. This means you have to approach your own mind like a scientist, not a judge.
Yeah.
So when a difficult pattern arises, you don't say, oh, there I go again, I'm so bad. You ask, what is this, really? How does this craving actually work moment to moment? What were the conditions that allowed this to pop up?
You're just collecting data. Which makes sense for the next point, which is the role of mindfulness.
Mindfulness is the foundation. Your investigation is only as good as the data it receives. If your mind is scattered, the data is fuzzy and distorted. Sustained mindfulness provides the clear, raw data of your present moment experience. You have to see what is happening before you can ask why it's happening.
And once you have that data, you need time to process it. That's the third method. Regular reflection.
Yes, and this has to be conscious, dedicated time, not just letting your mind wander. You might set aside time to journal or just sit quietly and ask some really targeted questions. What helped me get through that difficult feeling yesterday? What patterns am I seeing this week?
And that leads to the fourth point, making sure that's wise questioning and not just, you know, stewing in it. Rumination.
Oh, that's such a crucial distinction. The mind loves to chew on the same anxious thought over and over. Rumination is, why am I like this? Why am I so weak? Wise questioning is, what was the trigger 5 minutes before the craving hit? What was the exact thought process? What was the actual result?
You're analyzing the process, not attacking the person.
Precisely. And the fifth point takes this into really challenging territory. Learning from slips, lapses, or setbacks.
Yeah, that's the tough one.
It is. But these are not failures. They are incredibly valuable data points.
Yeah.
The practice here is to use kind curiosity, not harsh condemnation. Ask, okay, what were the conditions that led to this? What can I learn from this to strengthen my skills for next time? It turns a painful event into a masterclass in prevention.
You're turning a catastrophe into curriculum. I like that. And the last one. Skillful experimentation.
This is about being a pragmatist. Be willing to try different strategies, a new way of thinking, a different coping skill, and then objectively watch what happens. Did that actually help, or did it just make things worse? You adapt your approach based on what the evidence of your own life tells you, not based on rigid theory.
That's a really solid toolkit. So let's talk about the impact. When you start applying this, what's the transformation that happens on the journey to freedom?
It's profound. It moves you away from these simplistic self-blaming explanations like, I just have no willpower. Instead, you start to see the whole complex web of conditions, the triggers, the stress, the thoughts, the unmet needs, all the things that actually lead to these destructive behaviors. That's why things like journaling are so powerful. They give your inner investigator the evidence it needs.
And it must be the power that helps you see through all the justifications and rationalizations that the mind creates.
Absolutely. You start to see cravings for what they are. You investigate them and you realize, huh, they're impermanent. They rise, they peak, they fade, and they're impersonal. They aren't me. You also see that the actual result of the compulsive behavior almost never matches the fantasy reward you were promised.
When you can see it's just this temporary impersonal storm passing through, it has so much less power over you.
It loses its grip. And that leads to the biggest insight the RAFT program points to, the insight into not self. Through this constant objective investigation, you start to realize there's no fixed, solid self in there that's broken or driving all this. There are just processes. Impersonal conditioned processes unfolding.
So the thought changes from I am a failure to I am observing a process that led to a setback. And a process can be studied. A process can be changed.
Yes. You stop identifying with it. You stop taking it so personally. It's a game changer.
You know, as you're describing this, it sounds incredibly aligned with what modern science is telling us about the mind.
It is, completely. What we're calling fearless investigation is basically the practice of our higher cognitive functions. In neuroscience terms, you're activating the prefrontal cortex, the brain's CEO. It's the part responsible for reasoning, for metacognition, for thinking about your own thinking.
It's the part of the brain that lets you pause instead of just reacting.
Exactly. And the research is clear that practices like mindfulness actually strengthen the connections in these brain regions. You're literally building a stronger internal investigator.
It also sounds like a perfect match for Carol Dweck's work on the growth mindset, the whole idea of seeing challenges as opportunities to learn and adapt rather than as a verdict on your character.
It's the same principle.
Yeah.
It's reflective practice, which is mandatory in any high-performance field. Philosophically, it goes all the way back to the Socratic method, just relentless, honest questioning of assumptions.
And it brings us full circle to those wisdom traditions you mentioned earlier.
Right, like the Kalama Sutta.
Yeah.
The idea that wisdom, developed through your own personal investigation, is the ultimate liberating factor. It's the one that truly sets you free.
So that wraps up our deep dive into the four creative powers. With fearless investigation in place, what does this mean for someone on this journey?
It means they've completed the first and maybe most important stage of the RAFT journey. The error, recognizing what it is to be human. It's that core understanding that life involves difficulty and that this isn't a personal failure. It's a universal truth.
So now, with that purpose, that power, that focus, and that wisdom, the listener is ready for the next phase.
They are. Now we are prepared to move to the A in the RAFT acronym, abandoning the harmful cravings and compulsions.
Before we close, we want to make sure you know that the RAFT to Freedom workbook, which has this chapter and 65 others, is written by Dr. Catherine Jacob and Vince Cullen. They're making the entire thing freely available online. You can find it at raft2freedom.org.
And we'd like to leave you with a question to carry forward from this discussion. When you're faced with a problem or a challenge, is your first instinct to react, to avoid, or to investigate?
And finally, a reflection that really sums up this whole process, often attributed to John Dewey. We do not learn from experience. We learn from reflecting on experience.